Welcome to episode number 605 of Rainer on Leadership. My name is Tom Rainer. I am joined by Sam Rainer, and we'll be talking today about a topic that many churches from time to time need to be considering, and that is, when does your church need a transitional pastor? And we want to be a little bit clear on that. That's not just an interim pastor, but that's really someone that is going to act both in the role of interim pastor and consultant and coach during the time between pastors. We'll be talking about that shortly, but before we move forward, we always want to thank Vander Blumen. They have been serving churches for more than 9 years. As a matter of fact, I just saw that they're about to hit their 10th year anniversary, so I'm going to change the copy on that. Happy 10 years, Vander Blumen. They also serve Christian schools, nonprofits, Christian businesses. So if you know any of these entities, any values-based business that's hiring, contact our friends at vanderblumen.com. And I also saw that they not only had a decade with them, but they also have a new website. So lots of good stuff that's going
fun.
On at Vander Blumen.
I had a church leadership team talk to me this week, actually, and they had been through a search process, and it's just been a tough process for them. And they finally just said, you know, you talk about Vander Blumen on your podcast, we should just go with Vander Blumen. And I said, yeah, you probably should have started there, but better late than never.
I know some churches come back to Vander Blumen after an unsuccessful search or a search that has taken so long. They said, we're just not going to get there. Vander Blumen has all the mechanisms and context to make it happen. I don't get it. Sometimes we are pound wise, penny foolish, penny wise, pound foolish. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we're unwilling to spend a little money in order to save a lot. You know.
Sure. Yeah. Whatever that was.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Okay. Let's talk about four occasions when your church may need a transitional pastor. We set up the scenario, Sam. A church is without a pastor. They can do a number of things. They could have a staff person do the preaching. They could have different preachers in at different times. They could have an interim pastor in the sense that pastor is mainly preaching and maybe offering a little guidance. Or they could bring in, and this position is becoming more and more frequent in the times of interim, they could bring in someone who is not only preaching and providing guidance to the staff and to the leadership of the church, but is acting in some ways as a consultant because they may need to go to a different level than they have been. They need to think differently. I don't want to use the Apple phrase and think different because I know they mean it as an adjective and not an adverb, but they want to think differently. So you've seen many of these. We've consulted with churches during interim times. Church Answers Consulting has. And by the way, that's also interim time is a great time for our church consultation too. You know that?
We are doing more and more of those where we see churches call us during, in between pastors to do the consultation, and have worked with interim pastors and transitional pastors during that season. Very common.
Yep. And it's a good time to do so because what you can do is tell the church some things that incoming pastor would need to know and set the incoming pastor up for success. I always love it when I hear a pastor say, yeah, I'm about to go to this church, but they had a consultation by your people before we came in. Yeah, that always does my heart good. Okay, let's look at some of these situations, not necessarily outliers, but these are not normal. I'm not going to use the word normative because that refers to statistical parameters, and I'm not going to get into that. But when the first one of these, Sam, when a long-term pastor retires.
Yes, and there's an inevitable sense of loss in a church when you've got a 30-year, let's just say 30 years. It could be shorter or even longer than that. When that pastor retires, and if that pastor's doing what it should be doing is, you know, moving on and giving the church some breathing room and not being in the church. And, you know, anytime I see the pastor emeritus thing,
the emeritus thing just drives me crazy.
Yeah. The pastor retires and then, but still has the office there and books on the shelf and showing up every day. It's really weird. So assuming the pastor exits in a way that's appropriate and gives the church some breathing room, at least for a couple of years, may come back. I've got a 30-year pastor that preceded me that went away for 10 years or so and then came back during my tenure, but he'd been gone long enough to where it worked just fine. It was not an issue at all. But there's that sense of loss, you know, this person that has been with us for so long, and it's almost like it feels sudden, even if you know, like 6 months out, it is, they were there and now they're not. And it's hard. It's very hard on the church. And so someone needs to come in and follow that. Because a lot of times the person that follows it, if you come in right after that, you know, whether you intended to be the transitional pastor or not, you end up being one. So
yeah, we call them the unintentional interims.
The unintentional interim, yeah.
After a good long-term pastor. There's the flip side to that, Sam. And the flip side to that is a long-term pastor who stayed past his time. And so he should have gone, he stayed 35 years, but he probably should have left at 30 years, but he just keeps hanging on. So now the church is in this angst period where, you know, we didn't want to kick out this guy that's been with us for so long. But on the other hand, we had this 5 years where it just felt like he was in retirement, but he wasn't in retirement.
And yeah.
So that's another situation.
You end up doing yourself and the church harm when you stay too long, and by too long, you know, 3, 4, 5 years past what you should have. And you end up, and then the people aren't, the loss, the sense of loss is still there, but it's also a sense of relief. And you probably don't want to create that in your church. So, you know, this is actually something we see with some of the baby boomers, not all, but they hang on a little too long, and it creates a power vacuum in the church and can be harmful in certain cases.
Let's see. Mine is not a pastor situation, but I retired from Lifeway when I was 60. I announced my retirement when I was 62 and then left shortly thereafter. I think I probably hung on a couple of years too long, but I was trying to get the organization through some big organizational issues, facility and new location and other things that were going on. So I could sense that my time, you know, I probably hung on a year too long when I'm looking at it. All things considered. So organizationally, it's not just for pastors, but it's also for those others in organizational leadership. All right. Another time when you may need a intentional interim pastor, when you may need this person to come in and also not only act like a pastor, an interim pastor, but also be a transitional pastor to be a church consultant, is when the church has been in a crisis or conflict, particularly some prolonged issues or maybe even a split has taken place. This is an opportunity for that transitional pastor to come in and do preaching, leading, and consulting.
Yeah, the transitional pastor tends to do more things in depth with the church and typically for a little longer time period. Sure. Than say an interim. And by definition, an interim is you're here until we find somebody. So that could be a short time or a longer time. And with an interim pastor, there's a preaching role. There's a bit of a shepherding role. You may not be as on site as much. Typically, you're not managing the staff if there's a staff. Whereas a transitional pastor kind of assumes many, not all, but many of the responsibilities that the person who would come in would have. And so that's really needed after a crisis. Whether or not it's a 6 month, a year, or a 2 year time frame, you need someone to do a deeper dive and to be more in depth during those time frames. So I would say that following a crisis, it is wise in some cases to bring on a transitional pastor, because there may be healing that needs to take place. There may be some changes that need to occur. There may be some tough decisions that need to be made, and you need to make them before you bring somebody on. And you may need to determine kind of who the church is, what's the identity, where are you going, and who are you? What's your voice? And you don't even know who to go get as a long-term pastor until you figure some of those things out, so a transitional pastor can help with them.
You have a church in your area, if I recall correctly, that has a transitional pastor. And they basically said, for the near term, we're not going to even do a search. We're just going to go with a transitional pastor. So it goes back to what you're saying, is there may not even be an open search in the early stages of a transitional pastor.
And many times there's not. Not until the problems are solved. And then once those problems begin to get solved, you start looking.
I don't know if you know this, but every now and then I go down a kind of a weird path in the midst of the podcast. And most people don't know that you and I can see each other. Even though we're both in Florida, I'm in the Panhandle right now, and you're in Bradenton, but we're separated by several hours. And then we got Kevin in Lexington. Now, we just got his name up there now. His face disappeared. But do you know Amy Jordan in Richmond? Didn't at the beginning of this podcast, wasn't she in a car starting the podcast? And now she's back in her home office. Have you noticed that? I mean, you talk about job flexibility. She's working from her car, and now she's working from her home office. I think that's her home office. I recognize it before.
And Dad, this is just great radio. I'm sure our listeners are enthralled with this particular narrative. No offense to Amy at all. But yeah, Amy got out of her car. She walked into her house and she sat in her office. Thank you. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Rainer on Leadership.
And to the listener who, for time to time, mentions that he does not want me to say funny things, I'm really sorry. We'll move on. We'll move on to the content, Scrooge. Okay. Number three is when the community has changed significantly. The scenario is this. You're in the church and you look at the people around you. Then you go to a convenience store a block away, and the people that are in the convenience store look dramatically different than the people in the church. In other words, the church no longer reflects the community. I'm thinking of a church that you and I both know where the community has changed dramatically. They have a transitional pastor. And one of the things that they are addressing is, why aren't we and how can we reach this community? Because it has changed significantly since the last few pastors.
Yeah, and this is a very important question. It's one that we're even examining here in Bradenton. Just recently ran some new demographics and found that 40% of the people that live within 20 minutes of the church are ethnic minorities, particularly Latinos and African Americans. So that, you know, our church is not fully multi-ethnic. You know, we're not there yet, but we would love to be there. And so that brings in the question of, who do we bring on staff? We will have to have a multi-ethnic staff if we want to have a multi-ethnic church, which reflects the flavor and the beauty of our community. So it is a very important question. If your church does not look like the community, you may need a transitional pastor to help you understand what it would mean to reach your community. Now, of course, any person of any race can reach any person of any other race, but it does bring about that question of, maybe we need a specific kind of leader to help us reach the community at large.
And I'll give you kudos for this, Samuel. You have been instrumental in bringing to Church Answers a new demographic and psychographic instrument. It's incredible, the depth of it, called Know Your Community. And this would be a great opportunity. We'll actually put the link to this in the show notes. So you can get it and look at it. It's very affordable. And what are some of the things that happen when somebody sees a Know Your Community report? Just give us a brief overview of some of the things they'll see. I know it's 60 pages long, but what's some high level things?
Yeah, high level. It just gives you a visual picture of the people in your community. It'll tell you, obviously, an age breakdown, a generation breakdown, a race breakdown. It'll tell you socioeconomics, things like, you know, how many in your community are more affluent or less affluent. You'll get an idea of their political leanings, which was, you know, I knew that we were purple here in my community, but I didn't know that the largest single group politically were independents in my community. And I feel like I know my community really well. I actually created this product, but here I am, I'm running the numbers in my own community, and I find out things that I go, wow, I didn't know that. We have more independents than we do Republicans and Democrats. So, you know, it's things like that that this report is going to show you in a very visually appealing way. And that's a problem with a lot of demographics and psychographics, is it's good data, but it's extraordinarily hard to read.
Yeah, this one has some great infographics that you're instrumental in creating.
Yeah, really, the report starts with the infographics, so you can just visually and quickly understand, okay, this is a picture of my community. And all of that, you can remember it. So a lot of times you'll read a report, you go, oh, this is good information, and it kind of goes in one ear, out the other, and it's hard to remember exactly. So these pictures, these infographics that we have will be visually memorable and help you understand your community, know your community, so that you know how to reach your community.
Well, for all the statistical training that you have had all the way through your PhD, I'm glad we're finally getting our money's worth for you at Church Answers. That's good.
Well, I'm thankful for the organization of Church Answers, yes. And I'm glad that I can at least carry my weight just a little bit.
It's is, and no kidding aside, it's really good stuff. So when do you need a transitional pastor? When a long-term pastor retires, when the church is in crisis or conflict. Did we address that well enough, Sam? Did we talk about the crisis or conflict, the splits? I think we at least hit upon it.
And then, I think most people understand what we say when we say crisis or conflict. I mean, that's a whole series of podcasts right there. You know, crisis is something that may come from the outside. Conflict may come from the inside. And I understand that, you know, you can have a crisis with internal conflict as well. But when I think of a crisis, I think of something exterior that has happened to the church, say a hurricane, like, you know, at Michael going through the panhandle where you are. And then
and
a conflict.
I love the fact that our nonprofit Revitalized Network was right there helping churches.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that we were able, because of the flexibility of our organization at Revitalized Network, we were able to step in very quickly and help help a couple churches. And it was very rewarding work. So that would be a crisis. And then conflict, yeah, would be just things that happen internally, you know, which doesn't really happen much at most churches, of course. It's very rare for that to happen in churches. But
that
was
humor, listener, and it came from Sam, not me.
Yeah, a little bit sarcastic there.
Yeah.
And those are times, particularly if the pastor leaves under duress, and I know that's a bit of a legal term, but leaves under...
felt forced out one way or the other.
Yeah, under the situation of the crisis or the conflict, the transitional pastor becomes even more important.
The last one is when the church has been inwardly focused for years. I know I mentioned this to you. You and I had a conversation about it, I believe, on the telephone. I'm going to show you the book right now. It's called The Disruption Mindset, Why Some Organizations Transform While Others Fail. It's a secular book, but it has so much application. It actually has great commission application to the local church. And the author is Charlene Lee. She's one of the more brilliant church authors. And she just basically says this: a lot of organizations are looking to disrupt in order to grow. And she says, that's now not how it works. Disruption doesn't create growth. Growth creates disruption. All right, what does that have to do with the church? I know that sounds murky out there, but in the church life, we often say, if we can get a good vision statement, if we can do these programs, if we can have this worship style, if we can just have all these things, this right programmatic or staffing or whatever, which is all important. She is saying, no, try to grow first and then let the disruption follow the growth and then adjust accordingly. And so her whole theme is basically Matthew 28 from a church point of view. You go. First of all, or in Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses in these areas. You start with going, and then the disruption follows, and you adjust accordingly. Well, many churches are inwardly focused, and some of them aren't even thinking about the disruption factor. Some of them are just inwardly focused. So if a church has been inwardly focused for years, it's going to take some really disruptive thinking for that church to become outwardly focused.
I would say that is the greatest disruption in the church, is the movement from inward to outward. And it is structurally disrupting. It is financially disruptive sometimes. And it is certainly spiritually disruptive. All of that I say very positively.
Yep.
That these are necessary things that need to happen. But leading in that time of disruption, though growth can happen out of it, whew, it can be very tough. And it is that movement from inward to outward that is often the most troubling for people.
So we have these four times when we can call them intentional or transitional pastor needs to come in. We mentioned when the long-term pastor retires, when the church is in crisis or conflict, when the community has changed significantly, when the church has been inwardly focused for years, there obviously can be overlap. Those are not mutually exclusive. And we have said, that Sam and I have said, that oftentimes Church Answers Consulting is asked to come in during these transition times to get ready for the next era, the next phase of leadership. And they need consultants. And I just want to tell you, particularly at the under 200, whether you call them standard or normative churches, there is a shortage. There's a shortage of consultants. I am excited that we have the opportunity to train and certify consultants. And so I'm going to encourage you to be at our webinar on Tuesday, January 14th, where we talk about the 7 habits successful church consultants have. And we're going to begin looking at that as an entree into the spring enrollment for Church Consultation University. We only take a few people each time, each round, because we have to have coaches for them. And so if you have any interest in being a church consultant, a certified church consultant, start by signing up for the webinar. It's a free webinar, and you can learn more about it and also a lot of good content about 7 habits successful church consultants develop. So you can sign up there. I also want to mention before we go, we're looking forward to the Revitalize 2020 conference in Bradenton, Florida. It happens to be at Sam's Church, and we will be naming several churches of the year. There's a submission form there. If you want to nominate someone, we'd be glad to receive it. It should be self-explanatory. So thank you, listeners, for being with us. And always, we thank Southeastern Seminary, whose mission is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. They have 40 degree programs. The one that's in partnership with us is the Master of Arts in Church Revitalization, us being Church Answers and Revitalize Network. It's a 37-hour degree. It really talks about helping you lead churches from flatline to flourishing. If you want to learn more about that, visit sebts.edu. And as we always say, where are you going? Southeastern will help you get there. Once again, thank you for being here with us on episode number 605. Four occasions when your church may need a transitional pastor. Give us a rating and review wherever you listen or download podcasts, whether Spotify, iTunes, wherever you do so, and continue to join us as we grow healthy churches together.